All right. Very good. Lesson 7, memory verse, Revelation 2:10. Let's say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And again, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Amen. Let's pray. Father, please bless our time now. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need through your word. I pray you'll guide us into the truth of the scripture, that we'll be different, Lord, because of this class time. Be with all our classes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to finish off lesson 7 today. We are talking about the afflicted church in Smyrna. We are in Revelation chapter 2 and actually studying now Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And I've entitled this section, which is section 2, the announcement to the seven churches. And these letters written to these seven churches, we've talked about the fact that they apply certainly to those churches. There was a church in Smyrna, and a letter directly written to that church, but these also apply to us as a church, and there are certainly some things we can apply to our lives, as is true with all of the Word of God. And this church was an afflicted church, and we've talked about it. The city of Smyrna, which is was 40 miles north of Ephesus, the other city closest to Ephesus, and second closest to Patmos. And it was a beautiful city. It was on a bay, and it was known for trade. It was on the direct trade route from India to Persia to Rome, and so very important for that. A lot of apostate Jews. These are Jews that did not follow the Jewish religion. They were apostate. They were anti-God, really, but they were Jews in name only. And they lived there, and there is a reference made to that. That is the city, the characteristic of Christ. We've talked about that. And really, I need to move on so I don't reteach everything. But then the commendation is important. Again, remember, Jesus says to every church, I know thy works. He's interested in what we do. Amen? And he's not interested in what we do so we can be punished. He's interested in what we do so we can be rewarded. And he tracks and keeps track of our works. And again, that is for those who are saved, those who are Christians. He keeps track of our works. And he says he knew their works, he knew their tribulation. The thing about this church, the church in Smyrna, is the idea that they worked in the midst of tribulation. You know, we're always looking for an excuse not to serve God. We're always looking for an excuse to kind of do our own thing. And certainly tribulation gives us a great excuse, doesn't it? I mean, it gives us a great opportunity to say, oh, you know, I'm going through all these problems and all these trials, and therefore nobody would expect me to, well, they did. And they worked, and they served God, though they were in the midst of serious persecution, persecution that cost many of them their lives. And so, again, the commendation, the Lord commends them for this. Number 4, Roman numeral 4, it was the condemnation. And this is one of the churches where there is no condemnation. There is no words of rebuke to this church. And I think that's amazing. Again, here's a group of people who were under great persecution, yet they kept serving God. They kept running their bus routes, well, their chariot routes. And they kept going with their Sunday school classes, and they kept being faithful to church, and they kept giving, and they kept doing what they were supposed to do. They didn't have, they didn't gripe, they didn't complain about the problems that they faced, and so there was no condemnation. Doesn't mean they were perfect. It just means they were walking with God, and therefore, whatever sin might have been in their life, they would get it right with God, and so God had nothing to warn them about or condemn them about. And again, they are to be admired for that. And then we came to number 5 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the council. And again, verse 10, the council, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He says, don't be afraid of those things. And it says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And we talked that 2 weeks ago about Daniel went to prison for the Lord. Paul went to prison. Paul and Silas in prison. They sang at midnight, and God sent a great earthquake. I don't know if their notes maybe were off a little bit, and I'm not sure, but they sang praise to God. You say, what's the big deal of that? Well, they're sitting in prison. They've just been beaten with whips. Their backs are bloodied, and they're singing praise to God. Again, your Christianity isn't just because, what we say, it's how we act and what we do. And that's what folks are watching. You can say anything. You can talk about God will take care of me, and I believe God, and I'm trusting the Lord, and all those kind of things. And yet, how do you respond? You know, do we respond like everybody else and get bitter and upset and gripe and complain? Well, again, God says to them, fear not, thou shalt suffer. And honestly, folks, let's be real about this. There is going to be suffering. For Christians, there's suffering for everybody, but especially, there's going to be suffering. Joseph did, Daniel did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. John the Baptist, of course, is testimony. Here he is on the Isle of Patmos, banished there. And what for? Well, to suffer. That's why he's there. And, the Bible says they would be tried, that ye may be tried. And, Scripture says, of what sort are you? And, that's a good question. What sort are we? What are we? What kind of people are we? Are we the kind of people that we're fair weather Christians? When everything's going our way, we rejoice and we praise the Lord. Or are we the kind like a Paul and a Silas who you're in jail, you're in prison for just preaching the word, doing right, and you've been beaten and you still praise the Lord? What sort are you? And so we talked about that. And again, I do want to emphasize, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And that is a negative thing to happen, but it is also a positive thing because it is a set season. And understand this, God, often in the Bible it says it came to pass. And we kind of read that and we just kind of go on because it's there so many times. Well, it came to pass that, it came to pass. And I years ago I looked at that and I said, it came to pass. It came with a purpose of passing. It's like a storm comes and it has a purpose. It's going to send rain to the earth. Maybe it's going to have some wind. Maybe it's going to have some snow. But it came to pass. Now, in the passing, it's going to leave something behind. There's going to be a reason for it coming, but it's going to pass. Amen. Whatever your trial, whatever your tribulation, whatever the problem, he said to the church of Smyrna, he said, it'll be 10 days. You're going to have 10 days. Tribulation, there's going to be a 10-day period. But understand this, at the end of that 10 days, it's past. It's past. And it always does pass. Amen. Just when we think, oh, it cannot get any worse, it does pass. Amen. That's a wonderful thing about Christianity. It's a wonderful thing about having the hope of the Scriptures, and that is that it's going to pass. And we're going to be able to go on. So he says, don't fear. But then we come to B under number 5. Capital A is fear not. Capital B is be faithful. Be faithful. And he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And again, understand that is a reward of faithfulness, the crown of life. You say, oh, really? What's it worth? Well, it's worth casting at the feet of Jesus to tell him thank you for what he's done for you. That's what it's worth. It's our way of being able to say to him, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the many, many times you delivered me. And my God is always faithful, isn't he? Always faithful. He is so good to us. He says, be faithful unto death. Now, by the way, death, seems to be a theme with the church at Smyrna. We've talked about it. It seems to be a theme with the way God talks to them. Reminding them, as we started off talking about the church at Smyrna, he said unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And so this theme with the church at Smyrna, they are an afflicted church. Many will die. But he was dead and is alive. The resurrection, read it in the book of Acts. The resurrection's not just at Easter. Amen. Resurrection is, it's our hope. That's a blessing. A death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? It's how we have a cemetery service, and I whenever it was, like a week and a half ago, stood at the cemetery, actually a week and a half ago, and then 2 weeks ago, and stood there and smiled and praised the Lord for a beautiful day, and said, you know what, we're not saying goodbye, we're saying see you later. That's the resurrection. That's what it's all about. And you have loved ones who've gone before. You have friends who've gone before. You have co-workers who've gone before. And you know, for the Christian, it's not goodbye. It's always see you later. And that's because of the resurrection. And that's what he's telling. Be faithful unto death. Some would die. And we need to keep in mind, of course, verse 8. He which was dead and is alive. And then verse 11, it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And we're going to receive a crown of life, the reward of faithfulness. You know, you say, I can't do much, but there's one thing you can do, and that is you can be faithful. You can be faithful. And it is so important that people be faithful. You can be faithful unto death. That's something I can do. You know, as we get older, there's less and less that we can do. But one thing we can always do, and that's be faithful. You can be faithful to pray. You can be faithful to read your Bible. You can be faithful to give out tracts and witness to people. Tell them about the Lord. You can be faithful to invite people to church. You can be faithful to attend church. Oh, you say, you know, I'm getting older and I'm getting shut in and all that. But you can still pray. And you can still read your Bible. And you can still tell folks about Jesus. I mean, there's just so much. We need to just be faithful. We live in a day with so much shallow Christianity and whiny Christianity. It's almost like, you know, if things don't go my way, I'm just going to suck my thumb and pout. You know, that's not the way it was with the early church. Things were not going their way. Things were not going to go this church's way. They were going to have to be faithful unto death. And as I said, they gave their lives, many of them. They gave their lives, but they were faithful. And so again, the counsel, fear not and be faithful. I think that counsel is good for us today. Fear not, be faithful. Amen. Fear not, it's almost like the song we sing, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Number six under this, Roman numeral six, is the call. And again, we have the call of the Lord here in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Over and over, each letter, you know, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And we have ears, so let's listen. And again, he doesn't want it to go in and out. He wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention. He wants us to get it. And again, I remind you, the Spirit says this. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's the same Spirit that speaks to us. And listen. Listen to what he's saying here. Number seven is the comfort that we find. And again, all these points we find with each of these churches. And the comfort is found in verse 11. Where he says this, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And that is such a comfort to them. It's very, very obvious what he's talking about when he talks about the first death. You know, that's when their body dies. That's a physical death of our bodies. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Somebody says, you know, you always give the gospel at a funeral. Well, that's because there's no better time to show people the truth that we die. There is no better time. I have no problem with an open casket when I'm doing a funeral service. I'm talking about the person in the casket, talking about their life, but it is also a reminder to us that we die. We die. You say, preacher, I came to be encouraged today, but we do die. And, you know, I'd like to tell everybody, oh, you know, this old body, it's never going to die, but all I have to do is look in the mirror, and I see it dying. Amen. You say, oh, now you amen. Yeah, because you're looking at me. You're saying, oh, yeah, you look bad, real bad. Somebody the other day said, you're looking terrible. I feel good. But anyway, you know, you just, come on, we die. But he says this, and this is what I like. He says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And here they are. You know, here they are. They're in poverty. They're in tribulation. They're under persecution. I mean, that first death is very close to them as they receive this letter. Understand, that first death is inevitable. I mean, it would be almost like if I were to announce today or you were to hear on the news this morning that, you know, terrorists had invaded the United States and they were sweeping across the nation, you know, however that might happen, or another country or however it might be, and they're on their way. I mean, that's exactly how these people had to feel. It is inevitable. We are going to be put to the test. We are under great persecution now. And so that first death is inevitable, and it's no, you know, there's no question in their lives. But he says this, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And it's not that first death that a Christian ever has to fear. It's because that, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And by the way, it's not the second death that a Christian has to fear either, because he says, you'll not be hurt of the second death. You'll not have to ever go to hell. Why? Well, because you've overcome. He that overcometh. Now, what's that mean? Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And we've actually looked at this a couple of times because, again, some people say, well, you know, obviously overcoming is works and that's how you're saved. And no, you're not saved by works. Never could be. Here's how you overcome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory right here that overcometh the world, even our faith. Remember, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who's an overcomer? Someone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, they've called upon him to save them. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who overcomes? The overcomers are those who are saved. The overcomers are the ones who have trusted Jesus Christ. Not religious people, not just good people. The Bible says there's none good. Okay, I'm not good, according to the Bible. Brother Hawkins was giving me a hard time about that today. And there's none good. No, not one. But in Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous because he paid for our sins. And it's a matter of calling upon him and trusting him as our Savior, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing on him. And will not be hurt of the second. So the point is, it's inevitable that first death, unless the rapture takes place, when we're called out, okay, it's inevitable.